James Bond Complex. I'm Edgar.
And I'm Matt.
And we have another bonus episode for you guys. This one is a little bit different. So different that I'm going to let Matthew, who's, in fairness, credit where credit is due, it was your idea. So how about you take it from here, take the floor and explain what we're doing. Just talk when it's my turn.
We're doing something we are calling the Bond Expansion Volume 1, and this idea is based on the known fact that Michael and Barbara from Eon Production, calling them by their first name because I know them very, very well.
Absolutely. I'd say I don't say Lazenby, I say George.
George, yeah. They've tried, they've implied that they were going to make either a Wayland or a Jinx spinoff in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that never came to be. There's always been ideas, notions that they were going to try and expand the Bond universe in some way. With all multimedia platform like the Marvel movies, or which encompass cartoons now, movies, like all types of media. Star Wars now is cartoons, movies, video games. Every super like large
bubblegum trading card packages.
Yeah, well, every major franchise encompasses all media these days. But Bond movies so far have remained only movie-based franchise. They dabbled into cartoons in the 90s with the James Bond Jr. cartoons, but that's all she wrote. They've had video games, but since 2012, there's been no platform-based video game. There's the app, James Bond, The World of Espionage, which was a miserable failure and an unpleasant experience. Mm. But there's, except for the movies, it's, and probably the books, it's
the comics. I mean, we reviewed.
Yeah, the comics.
But it's like I've read some stories on the numbers. It's selling. Otherwise, they would have stopped it a long time ago. But it's not doing gangbusters.
No, well, yeah, but the thing is, I feel, and I might be wrong. They have to get into the game of multimedia platform if they want to stay relevant. If they want to keep James Bond as a viable franchise, they need to expand. So I propose to you, let's pretend we're pitching an idea to Barbara and Michael of what we would do to expand the Bond experience, expand it to another media on the platform, another angle on the franchise. Let's go wild and crazy. So I came up with an idea. You came up with a couple ideas. We're going to pitch it to each other and discuss it and see how feasible or if it would work. We're going to try and poke holes and just have fun. This is supposed to be a fun episode, basically. So like I'm one of those what-if scenarios from the old Marvel comics. So my first idea, I'm going to pitch it to you like I would to Barbara and Michael.
Oh, welcome to the office. My name's Michael.
Okay. So it's 1960. Kennedy has just been elected. The space race has just begun. The Cold War is on the verge of boiling over. It's a dangerous time. A time of spies versus spy. A time of opportunity. A time for extortion, terrorism, and revenge. A time for Spectre. Having just managed to steal the funds of a group of exiled Nazis, Blofeld plans to use his capitals to start his own criminal empire. Recruiting agents covertly on both sides of the Iron Curtain, thus Spectre is born. Playing both sides of the organization grows its tentacles across politics, businesses, culture, and crime. Agents of Spectre will tell a story about society by using the prism of the point of view of the James Bond villain Ernst Havre Blofeld and his organization. Who are the members of Spectre? Dr. No, Emilio Largo, Red Grant, Fanny Volpe, and many more. All the characters that have made a strong but all too brief impression in pop culture will be used to tell stories in the 1960s version of the James Bond series. In a different view, in the tradition of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which is basically an alternate take on the events of Hamlet, but taken from other characters. The title so far is called Bond 1962 Agents of Spectre. It will tell the story of the Bond films themselves, but from a different perspective, allowing new and old Bond fans to rediscover or discover for the first time this amazing franchise from a different perspective. Minor characters like Professor Dent, Oddjobs, Hans and Dicko Anderson would actually become lead characters. The series would take place between the and during the events featured in the film, fleshing out the further the world of James Bond from this era. And if successful, like a follow-up could be made, Bond 73. Let's call it like that. And it would feature the backdrop of the 1970s and create a similar single storyline featuring Hugo Drax manipulating Francisco Scaramanga, Dr. Kananga, and Carl Strongbow to enact his plan to wipe out humanity with lethal gas. So I'll show you the little trailer that I made.
Okay.
I was actually like I'm proud of this one, so
I'm sure you are.
So I'll show it to you on the TV behind you.
Oh my god!
I know I'm a magic master. I hope this.
I'm feeling less and less confident about what I'm gonna come up with later.
Yeah, I know. I'm overdoing it.
And the battles are not all won. And we stand today on the edge of a new frontier.
East, west, just points of the compass, each as stupid as the other. I'm a member of Spectre.
I have already negotiated with the Russians.
Two atomic bombs are now in the possession of Spectre.
Missiles are only the first step.
Our intention is to demand a ransom.
I expect you to die!
I have anticipated every possible variation.
In 2 hours, I shall be in Cuba.
Then you will not leave this room alive.
My name is Pussy Galore.
It's only half of it, old man.
From the world of... of Spectre.
Allow me to introduce myself.
So I've pitched you the storyline. I've pitched you the visual. I created an image in your mind. First impression, and I'll go further with ideas that I have to expand these characters.
Okay, problem number one. I'm joking. No, it's very impressive. I'm excited. I'm even somewhat titillated. I think it's a really cool idea. It's basically like the first 10 minutes of From Russia with Love, and then instead of cutting to Sylvia Trench and Bond having their picnic, we stick with Red Grant as he starts his mission.
I would actually start the series in 1960. Like I said, I mentioned this thing about Nazis and Blofeld stealing their gold, because when I was reading one of the books there, apparently there some people during World War II actually tried to do what Spectre is, play both sides, and it didn't work for them. Mm-hmm. They were executed. But I was like, it stayed in my mind, and I've thought, you know, if you're going to start a criminal empire, what better way than get yourself funded by evil Nazis? So I'm like, I took that idea, and I'm like, a simple character like Professor Dent, you'll laugh when I mention him, but...
Oh, I love Professor Dent.
But that character fascinates me, because he's not afraid the same way the other characters are afraid of Dr. No in that movie. And my thinking is that he probably did some shitty thing that, like, Dr. No found out, and probably Dr. No helped him cover it up, but he blackmailed Professor Dent. And, you know, that's something you could actually do, and that would make for, like, a somewhat interesting, like, even more interesting character.
We don't want this to become, like, fan fiction, though. We want this to be... Okay, first of all, are these films, or is this a television show?
It's a Netflix series.
Of course, obviously, it's a Netflix series. Nobody watches cable anymore. So.
It's
a Netflix original.
I would say it's... there's what, six. Yeah, don't lean too much on the table, because each time you move, it's gonna
podcast will end sooner than we wanted it to.
Yeah, and in tears. Each season would take place before and during a movie. So let's say Dr. No, it takes place. It would actually start with the construction. I would start. You know, the first scene of the first scene is
we need, like, the pre-title sequence is him being courted by the East, being courted by the West, and him going, no, what do I do now? Title sequence.
But the thing is that I was thinking about the characters, and Dr. No in the novel gets his hands chopped by what's the name?
The tongs?
Not the tongs, the other ones. The other, like...
Triads?
Oh, yeah, the triads. They cut off both his ends. And in the movie, he says it's nuclear radiation. So I'm like, do we start... does it start with him, like, being tortured and beaten and getting his ends, both his ends chopped off?
It's a hell of a way to start a show.
Like, that would be a grab, but that would be a little bit too violent. But, I mean, the point is not just... fan fiction, because that's, you know, it would get boring after a while. It has to tell a story and has to mean something. So think about Mad Men, but with evil. I don't know if you've seen Mad Men, because it comments on society and culture and uses the, like I said, the context of the 1960s to comment on current world events. But it's about race, it's about sex, it's about politics. It's about many things, but you use the same type of, we're going to talk about something, but kind of like Star Trek did. So we're going to talk about crime, we're going to talk about businessmen using their wealth and power to do shitty things. Because Emilio Largo, we never find out anything about him, but obviously he's got money. He's a businessman, my guess is. And even Goldfinger, he's not technically a member of Spectre, it's never said, but in some video games they actually make him a member of Spectre.
Is that what we're doing with this show?
I don't know.
I'm not particularly interested. I'm not against it, but I'm not especially interested in retconning this.
I wouldn't make him an agent of Spectre, but I would make it...
But you called your show Agents of Spectre. I'm confused.
I would make it so that he's being courted by Spectre, while Spectre is actually prepping themselves for the events of Turn the Ball. And one thing I would... There are things I would like to... Not maybe retcon, but, you know... This series would, like, if you want to be a diehard fan, and it would work as a companion piece, but it, like, the movies stand on their own. They've stand for 50 years. I just want to see these characters again. Like, like Red Grant has a great origin story, which is all too brief. Like, he thinks he's a werewolf. Like, he's completely batshit crazy.
And in the book,
but it's something they allude to in the movie, but it's not.
Okay, what are we doing here? Are we expanding on the characters from the books, or are we expanding on the characters from the films?
We're merging both of them. We're gonna take ideas from the books and merge them. And honestly, I'm gonna propose a very controversial idea. And it's something that
you already have. Apparently, Goldfinger is courted by Spectres, so controversy has already begun. But please, you may have the floor.
Well, that's something we don't know. We have to expand these characters, and even Oddjob. Oddjob is a manservant for Goldfinger, is willing to die for him. Why? We can tell that story. We can have a Oddjob origin story, and it's set in the 1960s.
I feel like I've been saying this all night. I'm of two minds on this. You know what? I appreciate.
Come on, you've seen the trailer. It should have convinced you.
It's a really badass trailer. First of all, your editing skills are actually quite good.
The audio is a little bit messed up.
Could have fooled me. It's a very good trailer. You know what else had really good trailers? The Star Wars prequels.
I knew it.
This is smelling a lot like... I'm going to play devil's advocate. I mean, it's a cool idea. Like, let me just come up straight up. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Advocate. This smells like the recent trend of... Oh, but the fans want to know the fans want to know where the xenomorph. I don't need to know where the xenomorph came from. We still got two movies about where the xenomorph, but I didn't ask for it. You know, let's have an Oddjob origin story. Oddjob is awesome because he says one word, ah, sometimes doubles it, ah. And is a perfect assassin for Goldfinger. Why is he so loyal? Doesn't matter. That's just who he is. This is starting. We're heading down the path of over explaining everything. And I, for one, and this is I'm actually not being joking for 2 seconds. I'm actually really sick and tired of that. Mm. It's Bond, so you still have me intrigued. So you have that on your side. But the whole prequel, explain, you know, why is Darth Vader bad? Who made the xenomorphs? I don't give a shit. Darth Vader's just bad. And at one time, he killed Luke Skywalker's... He, quote, killed his father. The xenomorph comes from a queen that lays eggs. I don't care where the queen comes from. The queen just is. The bitch just is, you know. But we're still getting all these movies. And when you peel back the curtain, it's not necessarily as interesting. There are special features... Not only does Alien I keep coming back to Alien because it's one of my favorite franchises. Not only does Alien Covenant over-explain things, well, guess what? If you bought the iTunes or the Blu-ray, there are special features that go behind the scenes of what's behind the scenes of Covenant, so you get to know every little detail if you want. It's just not that interesting.
Let me propose, because I've struck the idea of seeing the formation of Spectre is an idea. I had two ways I wanted to present it. I opted for the 60s version because I felt this one had more sex appeal, I guess.
Did the 2015 Spectre even ever cross your mind? Why would it cross your mind? We got one movie and it's like, whatevs.
Well, like I said, I love these characters. Even, you don't need an origin story of Oddjob, but wouldn't you want to see more of them? Well, I want to see more Red Grant. I'm sorry, but I feel like I could have spent another movie.
People, now I'm really gonna sound like a prick, but I'll risk it, and I hope I won't alienate listeners. People don't know what they want. Fans don't. I had a conversation. I won't name names because I don't know. Maybe this person wants to preserve anonymity. But I'm sort of internet buddies with this person, if you will. I actually had a very lengthy, believe it or not, Twitter conversation. Thank you for upping the number of characters permissible. And it was an actual conversation, not like snark back. It was, we talked over Twitter, and we both agreed that fans don't know what they want. Oh, yeah, give us more Darth Vader. Shoehorn Darth Vader into Rogue One. Why is Darth Vader in Rogue One? Because fans want... Does he need to be in... No, but the fans want... Fans don't know what they want. You think you want to know why Oddjob is so loyal to Goldfinger? Your heart wants it. The recess of your mind. Maybe not the frontal lobes. Maybe not the front, but the recess of your mind doesn't care what Oddjob's story is.
But your argument is, because I'm a fan and I don't know what I want, but the idea I'm presenting to you, although not completely formed, has a little bit more thought than, oh, it'd be cool if Darth Vader and Captain America fought. Like, it's a little bit more complex. It's you're not being fair to the idea, I feel. Like, I feel that you're pushing the idea.
I did say I was going to start playing Devil's Advocate.
No, but it's perfectly...
It's a freaking good idea.
I think it's a good idea. I think if you're going to expand the universe or expand the IP, you can't do 003. You can't do Felix Leiter, the TV show. I'm seeing that, and I think of a sitcom with the... one-legged former retired spy. That actually might be funny now.
Are we going with the wooden leg, or are we going with the hook? You just said you're contradicting yourself now. I love playing Devil's Advocate. You're contradicting yourself. Yeah, so we're merging the film world and the book world. In the film, he's lost a leg. In the book, he's lost a hand. What are we doing? Does he have a hook? And well, explain this. Your idea makes no sense.
That would be for Bond 80. Which merges all the Dalton duology together into
The Dalton duology. You're really marketing this extremely well.
Single
all
narrative.
The Dalton duology.
I would do season. Well, season. I don't know if I do an entire. That's the thing. Do we do an entire show just about Spectre through the 1960s? And then the show's over, or do we do a series of couple episodes and then do a series on the more canon movies, sort of expands on them, or do we go through each actor, or we just, I think, just doing the 60s, because the 60s James Bond has a cachet, a visual that...
It's what most people think about when people say, oh, think about something. Can you describe me something, James Bond? They'll describe the laser scene in Goldfinger. They'll describe Pussy Galore. They'll describe the bald Blofeld with the scar and the pussycat.
Like I said, I feel like if you're going to expand Bond, instead, you can't... moving forward, it is one way, but I feel... going backwards and using the history of the franchise in a way it's never been used before, because they never went backwards. They never did a flashback to when James Bond was in the 60s. Each actor is like reboots the franchise each time there. And I think I think that's an idea that's a little bit ahead of its time. You couldn't have done that in the 90s or the 80s. But today, I feel people would... Because most people haven't, like, we're the exception. Like, most people have seen maybe the Daniel Craigs, maybe the Brosnan, but no, like, most people probably haven't seen the Daltons. Maybe they've seen Connery. Maybe they've seen a more...
And they won't watch Majesty because it's the one that shitty Bond actor did once.
Exactly. So, I feel it's... time to bring vintage Bond back. I'm proposing it this way. You could do a cartoon, but I feel this way you don't step on the toes of the movie franchise. It's far enough that you can still do more movies, and it's not going to confuse the brand. It's different enough that people are going to accept it on its own premise. You could spend the entire show and never show James Bond.
You could.
That would be an interesting. Or if you do.
Or James Bond would show up like at the end of. Maybe not a season, but you know, if like, oh, these next three episodes are Red Grant. Well, Bond's there for 2 minutes at the end of the third episode because Red Grant's gonna die. Or something.
If you do, you do him, and it's
you never see his face.
No. You see, it's gonna sound like a horrible idea, but I think that technology is a little bit better now. But you do him like in Terminator Salvation. And it's CGI, it's Sean Connery. Ooh. Back in the 60s.
We got to do this show in 10 years when the CG is good enough.
It's good enough now. But you don't feel like it's not like he has full discussions. It's just
there. I present to you Rogue One Tarkin. Rogue One Leia.
Well, Rogue One Leia is there for like literally a 12 second and she didn't bother me. Tarkin, he has full conversation. He's a character. Leia is just like a Easter egg for Uber fans, but you may be right.
That's personal taste. I think that's. But I wouldn't do that. I would film it so you don't see Bond's face,
or you don't see his face. But if you want to, like, you just see him like a couple seconds, but the end of the episode, and boom, that's it. You could, if you want, even bring somebody like. The most controversial idea.
The more pussy, the better.
The most controversial idea I have would be for the Goldfinger arc, and you're gonna complain, but let's imagine that. You got Tilly Masterson and Jill Masterson. Jill gets killed. Tilly tries to avenge her. But let's imagine that there was a third sister, an older one. Another one that kind of, the other ones that Jill was trying to bring back to the side of the good guys. And one that might even have went and changed her name.
I see where you're going with this.
Like, I'm not entirely convinced of my own idea, but... At the same time, like, I would actually spend time and pitch the script, like, write the script and see, does it work or does it not work? I think it's worth investigating creatively.
The reason, the most important reason why you have my attention in this boardroom meeting is because I am a James Bond fan. Dare I say it, I'm not even the fan you are because you do crazy mother effing stuff that I don't even think of, and I consider myself a diehard. So you might even be a bigger fan than myself. You have my attention for that reason. You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, that could be a good idea. And then I think of Alien Covenant. And then I think of episode 1, 2, and 3. It's like, it's one of those things where there's a reason why these characters are special. There's a reason why Oddjob is special. There's a reason why Pussy Galore is special. It's not because she's hypothetically the third Masterson twin. I'm not saying that can't make for a good script. That's not my argument. You might make a effing great script out of that. But you're still... When you peel away the onion slices... I find you incur the risk of losing some of the magic, whether all of it, whether some of it. I want this project to remove none of the magic. It's frickin' Bond, and we're looking at it from a different angle. But I have this deep-seated fear because the other example, I keep referring to the same two, but not the only two, the Hobbit films, a trilogy. Again, a trilogy of Hobbits. You know, there's another example. Yeah, I can go on and on. There's this risk, and it is a huge risk because more often than not, I'm not saying the good examples aren't out there, and I want this to be the good example. I want this, but the examples are out there that this doesn't work.
But the thing, why I feel like sometimes it doesn't work is because they try to put too much, like, there's too much baggage in the universe, and I would play loose with the certain, like, I proposed this idea, which I don't know, might not work, but I'm like, it might work because I can see a scene of Pussy Galore. Pussy, I mispronounced it.
No, you don't have to say the girl. Pussy.
I could see a scene of her finding out that both her sisters were murdered by the men she works for, and she, at the same, like the scene in the barn, you could expand on that scene, and she finds out that. And it kind of diminished the rape aspect of that.
Oh, it's not a particularly good scene. I agree with you on that. And like, if we can retcon that, I have no problem with it. But
but is it worth? And you know what? It doesn't. You don't like this. The series would be something for new and older fans. And if you don't like it, you know what? It's perfectly fine. You don't need to watch it.
Unfortunately, you keep opening the door wide open for me to play devil's advocate. You and I, the listeners don't know this. It's you know, more of an anecdote than anything else. Earlier this afternoon, we went to see, there's a particular film festival that goes on at the major multiplex chain here in Canada, and they play older movies for about a week. And today we saw A View to a Kill. And there's a scene in A View to a Kill near the end when Max Zorin is about to flood the Silicon Valley. And the flooding has already started. They've blown up some of the dynamite. And Bond and Mayday are like suddenly realize, oh my God, you know, we might die down here together. And they've been fighting the whole film. And Mayday says this one line which, like, okay, so that's why you're going to be a goody now. I thought that creep loved me. Okay, so the fact that you were going to effing murder me, but Max Zorn doesn't really love you. So now you're a goody. Like, okay, so the fact that Goldfinger is going to poison hundreds of people to get to the gold. Oh, but. Oh, he murdered your... Okay, now
she
you can be a goody.
I don't... Does she know that he's planning to... Oh, we'll discuss it.
Oh, what do you think, Bond? I think... Let's not pretend. I don't agree with the rape scene. I think we're on the same page. I think a lot of the listeners would be on the same page with us. It's not a good scene. They don't just fornicate in that barn. Connery tells her what Goldfinger's trying to do here. It's not... I know the joke made out of that scene is, oh wow, he used his blade of lust and she's a good, like, no, like, let's use our brains a little. It's still rape, but let's use our brain. They fornicated and he explained what Goldfinger's trying to do. Oh, hundreds of people are gonna die. What? Okay, maybe we want to stop this guy and work together, you know. So using that template and replacing it, or not replacing it, but adding on to it by, oh, he killed my sister, so now I'm gonna be, you know, it furthers my point about this worries me. This worries me.
Yeah, I know, but like I said, I'm not entirely, like, I thrown the idea, but I like my idea. Like, the one that I'll defend, I think, is great. Professor Dent being coerced into helping.
That's cool.
Dr. No. Like, that's something that would actually work. You don't need to retcon. The Pussy Galore thing, I'm proposing it, but I'm not entirely convinced myself. The entire plot of Thunderball and seeing all the plan they came up with these plans, and like the you only live twice. How do you like carve out the volcano? And there's some,
you get Cat Adam to do it.
and just the idea of being able to bring that world back. Like, being on the set of You Only Live Twice, I think it's worth exploring. Just even Dr. No's set, they rebuilt that set for the 50th anniversary. I'm like, why can't they make that an attraction? I would, like, go there on a whim. So I'm alone.
35 minutes.
So
it'll be my turn in a couple of minutes. But look, it's.
I'm not saying. Look, Michael.
Yes. I'm still listening, even though you haven't impressed me that much yet.
Really? Haven't?
No, it's actually... Matthew, we like the idea. We'll consider it. Well, our people will call your people. I just have one question. Do I get to have a cameo in every single season?
Of course.
Oh, great. consider him slimed. look, I'll let you conclude because it's your idea. But I will say, look, it's cool. It's cool. I feel like I felt when they announced the Star Wars prequels, when they announced Alien prequels, when they announced Hobbit, or not Hobbit prequels, but Lord Rings prequels, which meant Hobbit films, that could be kind of cool.
But the difference is that I'm proposing a TV show and not a movie. It's another format, and it changes the nature of the narrative, the way you tell the story. It's not the same as a movie.
Still risk. Too many details.
Still risk, but I mean, like I said, the idea is to expand. So you can expand multiple ways. You can do a prequel. You can do a spinoff. I'm proposing this because you use the iconography of the 60s, the sheen of the 60s. You bring back that world that's been missing for over 50 years now.
I know. It's such a great time of Bond history.
In its prime, it has a strong flavor. It's begging to be mine. So
Netflix has a really good track record with producing their shows. You imagine if they could get the Bond, which is ostensibly what you are proposing. If Netflix gets the Bond brand, you know what they could do? They could make the TV show about the history of the villains and maybe how Spectre. I just got a great idea.
Well, I think it would worth it's worth at least exploring further. I would propose that. Would it be great? There are ideas like I said, the Dr. No building is Lair thing with Professor Dent, and the final financial aspect of Spectre. Kind of puzzle me. It's explained in the book. I'm like, I would mind the earlier the Spectre trilogy, especially they got the rights back. So I mean, and what they did with the movie was the last movie was not very good.
How did Rosa Klebb rise in the ranks, not just of it within Russian intelligence? Then she was so presumably she's so good.
She was fired.
She was fired.
Yeah, she's not working for the Russians.
No, I thought she quit because she went to Spectre, and the Russians think she's still working for them.
No, she says that to Tatiana Rozanova that she still works for the Russians, right. But the Russians they fired her.
I thought she quit. I
think she got, you know.
We need a Netflix show.
You know, we need an origin story.
No, it's
Spectre
it's an awesome.
Island. We only get.
Yeah, where the hell is Spectre Island? We need an episode. Now I'm seeing the light. No, I've been playing Devil's Advocate a lot because it makes the episode fun. But it is a cool idea. And I would watch it. You know I would watch it. Obviously, I'm going to watch
it. For Bond's
time. No, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, we talked earlier this evening before we did the shows about, you know, how Star Wars fans react. You know, it's kind of like me with James Bond. Yeah, sure, tell me. How did Goldfinger get rich? Where did he find Aja? Where the hell does Aja come from? Why can't he talk? You know. I'll watch that for sure. It's my only question. Okay, and this is the big. Everything I've said up until now, who cares? Are we hiring Neil Purvis and Robert Wade?
No, we're writing it ourselves. You and me.
You can storyboard. I can dabble in penmanship a little bit. Okay, let's do it.
Do it. Michael, Barbara, give us a call.
Excellent. No, that was cool. That was cool. I like that idea. In fact, it was well thought up. There was a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good presentation. I could hear the Bond music. Great quotes. I appreciated the fact that the font for the name of the show kind of looks like the font for our podcast. I like that. That was a nice touch. You got me right here. Mm-hmm. So very good. And hey, in my heart of hearts, I kind of want something like that to happen.
Me too.
Because it's, you know, and I'll get to my ideas in a moment, but God bless Barbara and Michael, and I mean that with every fiber and every emotion I have in my body, But you're right. When before the presentation, you said something like they need to get their head in the game. I don't know what it is you said. But you said something like they need to get in the game or something like that. No kidding. When the biggest thing that happens during Boxing Day is like 5 or 10% off of like 30-pound keychains, I'm like, what is going on with this brand? What is going on?
And we say
this as loving fans.
And the video games, I mean, the last video game they that came out on a console was 007 Legends. That came out in
I didn't play it, but I heard it's pretty notorious for him.
Came out in 2012, and that was not very good. Bloodstone apparently is not very good. I tried to play Quantum on the Wii, and the last good one was From Russia with Love, as far as I'm concerned. That was from 2005.
Yeah.
And what's the one that was on the tablet? That was horrible. That was a joke.
Yeah.
That was like,
I remember downloading that and deleting it pretty quick.
Oh no, I don't know if I played that. You just push buttons and stuff happened.
It's a sad case of the powers that be that could do wonders with this IP, and either all they're good at is making, which is fine because the movies are predominantly the IP's bread and butter, so that's fine, and we're getting great movies. The movies are why we're doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. Not complaining.
No.
But either all they're good at is doing movies, or they're really, really bad at hiring people to come up with ideas.
But it's they've made good video games, and they could have made a good kids cartoon. They just got the wrong people to make it.
That was ages ago, too. They should reboot something like that.
Yeah, they should.
Might have been one of the ideas I cut out of this show. Oh. It was Volume 2. I may have said too much already, because you're going to start thinking about a cartoon now.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you.
So, look, I had a couple of ideas, but I mean, yours took like 35 minutes to get through. Maybe I'll restrict it to one. I think that'll be fair. I don't have a video presentation. I don't have anything. But mine is it's a completely different concept, okay? Mine is the James Bond experience. Now, I know there's already a YouTube channel that's the James Bond experience, and I like that YouTube channel a lot. He does great work. Mine has nothing to do with that.
Shout out to David.
Shout out to David Zaritsky, if you're listening. We really like what you're doing a lot. Props to you, buddy. So I will temporarily borrow the name. I'll think of something else. But the James Bond experience is like the only logical way I can think of this. Have you ever been to England?
No.
Have you ever wanted to go to England?
Yes.
You're going to want to even more now. We've all know about the 007 stage. Massive stage. Huge stage. Okay, tons and tons of acres. Well, we at Eon Productions and Dan Jack Associated Limited, Time Warner, Warner Brothers Disney, we're going big. Go big or go home, baby. It's 007. We've bought even more acres. Okay, we've may or may not have displaced people that lived in neighborhoods near Pinewood Studios, but they're living in nice homes now. We've bought...
Good.
Yes, that is good for them to be living in nice homes. Thank you for agreeing with us here at Eon and Dan Jack Limited Associates. we purchased tons and tons and tons of hectares.
But what are you going to do with those lands? Those lands.
We are going to make the James Bond experience. We all want to be like Bond. Some of us want to be with Bond. Some of us want to be Bond girls. Some of us who are dudes want to be Bond girls. We're going to allow you to do that. We're using those hectares to bring the James Bond experience to you. Essentially, what we've done here, because apparently this is already complete, is we have created a space near the 007 soundstage in which, I love the fact that you mentioned the recreation of the Dr. No set, because that's what we did.
Oh my God, that's a brilliant idea.
We recreated Goldfinger's playroom. I don't know what the hell you call it.
Rumpus room.
Rumpus room?
I think that's
it. Rumpus room. We've recreated the Thunderball Spectre meeting set. We've recreated Silva's like computer control room. We've recreated Judi Dench's M set. Why have we done that? Because we want our fans to come visit us and reenact their favorite scenes from the Bond films. They get costumes, they get the props, they get the scripts, they get the direction, they get professional lighting, a director to help coach them for their acting, and they get to reenact their favorite scenes from the films. Obviously, we can't do just do anything. We're not going to blow shit up left and right. You know, we have to manage this stuff correctly. Safety first, after all. They will be filmed. You will be able to have DVDs and or streaming versions of those scenes. And because we want to be interactive and attract more of our fans to come to us at Eon and Danjack Limited and Associates Time Warner Disney for the full James Bond experience, we will be offering these videos on YouTube so the fans can see how much fun you're having with you and your friends and your loved ones. And we can help spread the word on social media and YouTube. You get to be James Bond. You want to be a Bond villain? You want to be Oddjob and not say a damn thing except you may, because we built the Fort Knox set. You want to just sit around immobile and softly pet a cat? Well, we built the Spectre Thunderball meeting scene. Do you want to call? Have you ever thought that maybe James Bond is a bit of a sexist, misogynist dinosaur? Well, you can call him that, because we made Judi Dench's M set. And you can be Bond and sit there because you're her lackey and take it like a man. Grow a pair for once. You know, this is the James Bond experience. So you get to live out your favorite scenes from the film, okay, in a variety of settings.
So basically, we're along making people pay to make their own fan films?
Exactly, because that's what the fans want. Remember when I said fans don't know what they want? I was bluffing. I just wanted to berate you and your stupid idea for a Netflix show. Do you think it ends there? No, because we go big and we go home here at Eon and what's the other company? Danjack Associates, Disney. Limited Time Warner, Disney, Marvel. It's not over there. There's the fictional James Bond experience, which is phase one, living out your favorite scenes from all 24, soon to be 25 films. We can't tell you which set we've recreated from Bond 25.
They haven't recreated. They created for Bond 25. They're going to use it for the movie and then keep it there.
What are your sources?
It's economy.
Where's the leak? Where's the leak?
There's no memo for that.
You need to stop talking. Security. That's phase one. Phase two, which was actually not my second idea, was actually something different. But phase two of the James Bond experience is, you know, we have the fictional side, you know, act out a scene, be Bond, be a Bond girl, be M, be Largo, be Blofeld, be Oddjob. There's also the real world aspect of James Bond. Golf, liquor, firearms, driving Aston Martins, Rolls Royces, Jaguars, Lotus, BMW. We bought even more acres. We had to pay off some people, but we bought more acres. We have, and this is all secure, okay, it's safe. Safety first. Safety. There's no such thing as drinking and driving at the James Bond experience. That only happens in the movies. But what you can do is, we have custom-made 1965 Aston Martin DB5s. Okay, we have Jaguars. We have a Lotus Esprit. We actually have a few Lotus Esprits. And you can go around the track no more than 007 times in the car of your choice. Obviously, there'll be someone in the passenger seat, you know, a professional driver, just to make sure that everything's okay, because we don't want you to wreck our Lotus Esprits, BMs, and Astons. But you get to ride your favorite car or cars for an additional price, obviously. But we do offer family package deals. You get to ride your favorite cars. We have a 9-hole golf course, okay, where you can have a round with your friends. One of you, yes, may dress up as Goldfinger. We have the Schlesinger. Is that the shirt or the ball? Doesn't matter. details aren't important. They will be ironed out later. You can stop talking now. You all get at least one caddy that talks with that annoying Irish accent. I'm Arnold Palmer. That comes with a package. You don't have to pay extra for that. We give that away. It's like the coffee at Chez Cora. And so you get to drive your favorite car. You get to play golf. We also have... Now, here's the adult section. You know, the kids can ride in the car. Everybody can play some golf. You know, it's family fun. Now we get to the slightly more serious stuff, 18 years and over. I'm not going where you think I'm going. It's still supposed to be family friendly to an extent. We do have a little casino, okay, which is ornately decorated. Casino Royale poker chips, Casino Royale player cards. We have a baccarat table. We have a chemin de fer table. We have a Texas Hold'em Up table.
Good.
So obviously you get to golf like Bond, drive like Bond, bet like Bond, or gamble, like Bond. And at the end of the day, what better than to relax, enjoy a great meal and some wonderful drinks at our restaurant, Piz Gloria. This is our prize.
You built a mountain.
We didn't build a mountain. We didn't go that crazy. We're not going to fly you to Austria or to Switzerland, but we did recreate the Piz Gloria Center. But of course, we've made it a restaurant, so you get to take some courses in bartending, drink mixing.
Would it make more sense to create blades?
Did I not tell you that's what the casino's called?
Oh, okay. No,
did I forget to say that?
Yes, you did.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
My mistake.
Thank you for the apology.
Or if I'm okay, if I'm right, I told you so.
No, you didn't. So we've recreated.
It's getting late. My memory is
sure. So, you know, make your cocktails. And, of course, this is a James Bond restaurant. So, you know, you got your Vespers. You got your Plenty O'Toole's. You got your Pussy Galore's. These are your drinks. So they all have wonderful, classy names like Plenty O'Toole and Pussy Galore. You want to on a top? That's my favorite drink. secret ingredient.
What?
And that's basically how. So basically, the concept is to live like Bond for a day.
It's like a theme park.
I guess it is kind of like a theme park, but it's a little bit more interactive than just a theme park. Like you actually get to do this stuff. The relaxation is.
How much you charge per head, and what's your estimated cost?
We haven't finalized.
Isn't that what you begin with?
We want to hold your horses, Tiger. We want to be competitive. It's expensive going to Disney World. It's pretty expensive. You know, we do want to make these things reasonably priced. But we're going to be honest with you. These movies make a lot of money. We're also working on a Netflix show right now, which is going to earn us more money. We think this. We at Eon and Dan Jack Limited Associates, Time Warner Disney, really believe in this Netflix show. I think it's going to make us a lot of money in addition to the movie. So, you know, it will enable us to offer, whether it's an individual ticket. You know, obviously you got your you got your Bargain Tuesdays. You have your Sunday afternoon packages. You have your ladies' night packages. Family packages. So, you know, there'll be whoever you are and whatever day of the week or time of day that you show up, you know, we have a package that's right for you. We have a season pass. We have a seasonal pass for the winter. Like, you want to play golf in the winter? I didn't even fucking think about that.
Ski.
Not a whole lot of mountains around Pinewood Studios.
We'll build one.
Who told you? How do you know this information?
I have my sources.
So that's basically the idea is the James Bond experience. I've really hogged the mic for a long time, a hell of a lot longer than you did. I'm sure you have. Sing me your praise now.
I don't know if it's financially clever. I think it sounds really expensive, and I don't think it makes sense financially. I think the costs of the overhead cost is going to be so large, and no one's going to be able to afford it.
I think a lot of people said that about Disney World when that opened up, and yet they still successfully managed. Not only did they make Disney World, they've expanded and changed Disney World throughout the years. And they were only making cartoons back in the day. We are making monies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but usually, kids, it's families that go to Disney. What you're describing is something that's going to please adults. Kids are going to be bored, but when dad plays the poker scene of Casino Royale and they have to like wait and look at him and shooting, nobody wants to show off their shitty acting.
I beg to differ. Strongly, vehemently, that matter.
It worked. They had something similar for the Star Trek Enterprise. So, if you downgrade it to something like the Star Trek experience, which would be at a casino in Las Vegas, and be about a fifth of what you a hundred percent smaller. You don't buy new acres. You put it in Vegas, where it's easily accessible to most dumb Americans that would buy something like that. I don't think there's something kind of vulgar and obscene about your idea. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't think it would work in England, and the scale you're proposing is illogical. But
it's illogically small. I know we're trying to start modestly.
Something in Vegas would actually not. They had the Star Trek experience running for 10 years, and as much as I like Star Trek, I don't think it has the sex appeal and the coolness. Vegas and Star Trek never blended. It's too.
It's a bit of an odd mix.
It's an odd mix. But Bond and Vegas. James Bond experience.
Keep in mind, we're opening our own version of Blades. Let's be honest. Not a whole lot of people are going to be going home with their money. You lose money when you go to the casino. So that's going to help us, obviously, a lot as well. There are a lot of people, I'll tell you this much. There are a lot of people that will. This is a private board meeting.
But the James Bond casino would actually work. A James Bond team casino. What you're proposing as a casino would actually work. And you would have the Austin Martins. Actually,
our math guys have calculated that within the span of just a few months, Blades will pay for the golf course and Piz Gloria.
Okay.
So
if you did your math,
that's why we're going with Blades and not like a firing range. Like we got, you are paying to get in. And you're also giving us a lot of extra money because you like gambling.
That makes sense. Now that you explain it this way, I got to say it still sounds great.
It's sane is what it is. but I wanted to, I tried to get, your idea is way more reasonable. It's awesome and it's reasonable. I've really gone like completely. You know what this is? I am Hugo Drax now. I'm Hugo Drax.
Book or film?
We're merging both.
The universes are merging now.
Well, I'm doing it the Netflix way.
It's rebooting.
It's crazy, but it is something that I've like. It's never gonna happen. But if it did, yeah, shit, I'd go there.
You'd go live there.
Yeah,
you would get a job and be like a
job in London and spend weekends at the James Bond experience.
I work at this James Bond experience. I'm gonna be a goon.
You can be my Krebs.
I'm gonna be goon number five.
It's something I've, you know, in like a parallel universe, something I've always wanted to see kind of happen. Like, if something like this existed, you know, I'd be going at least once a year.
Yeah, that's...
I'm not a gambler, so I probably wouldn't go to Blades.
It's getting late.
Yeah, I was introduced to Bond at a young age. Octopussy being the first one. Like, you know, the yo-yo saw in that film. Yes, it was intense, but like, I loved it at the same time. But again, my childhood experience cannot possibly speak for the childhood experiences of hundreds of thousands of other kids. You know, maybe there are kids that would be discomforted by a James Bond film. I guess it would depend on which one. You're not going to sit down with your, you know, 8-year-old to watch like License to Kill necessarily.
Maybe.
I don't know. So, but I think there's a way to rear them in. I think there is a way.
You know what? That's going to be volume 2.
I think that is going to be. I've been hinting too much about some of my other ideas. I should have not said anything. I'm going to have to come up with different stuff because now you know what's coming.
Volume 2 is getting... No. Work on your idea. I'll come up with something else than a cartoon.
Was that your other idea?
No. I forgot, and right now it's too late. I don't remember my...
I have not mentioned... The cartoon thing was something that I had already decided had hit the cutting room floor for tonight. I have not actually revealed what hit the cutting room floor, like when I realized that we don't have enough time. I have not said what that is.
Okay.
So I actually have something that you have no idea what it is.
Okay. But I think that wraps it up for now.
I would think so. Nobody knows this, but we're doing this.
So it's almost midnight.
Yeah. Back-to-back episodes on a Saturday. These are Saturday nights. It's for you, the listeners. Where can our fans find us?
I'll go very quickly. Facebook, The James Bond Complex. Twitter, The Bond Complex. Instagram, The James Bond Complex. The website, The James Bond Complex. My Twitter, Matt O'Claire. And your Twitter,
Double O Pop. Double underscore OH underscore Pop.
I think that's all she wrote.
Now, hopefully I won't get mixed up again. But like James Bond, we will return, and the James Bond Complex will return in Diamonds Are Forever, 1956.
Yay!
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bonne nuit. Au revoir.
Ciao, bella.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.